This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. What do David Baltimore, Thomas Eisner, Paul Berg, Lawrence Krauss, E.O. Wilson, and Jane Lubchenco have in common? Well, they are certainly among the elite, the A-list of the world scientists. They are also part of a list of 60 scientists, including 20 Nobel Prize winners, who signed a statement alleging that there is a pattern of, quote, suppression and distortion of scientific findings by high-ranking Bush administration political appointees across numerous federal agencies. The statement and a report accompanying it, compiled by the Union of Concerned Scientists, goes on to charge that there is, quote, strong documentation of a wide-ranging effort to manipulate the government's scientific advisory system by the Bush administration. When the report was released this week, White House spokesman Scott McClellan reacted by saying that the administration, quote, makes decisions based on the best available science, unquote. The report pulls no punches in its accusations, saying that the administration has, quote, consistently misrepresented recommendations by the National Academy of Sciences, government scientists, and the expert community at large, unquote, in subjects ranging from global warming to pollution hazards to reproductive health, forest management, lead levels, and more. This hour, the president's science advisor joins us to talk about the charges, along with one of the signers of the statement. So give us a call if you'd like to talk. Our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Let me introduce my guests. John H. Marburger III is the science advisor to President Bush. He's the director of the Office of Science and Technology Policy. He is former director of the prestigious Brookhaven National Laboratory. Welcome back to Science Friday, Dr. Marburger.
Hello, Ira. It's good to be here.
Well, thank you. Dr. Neil Lane is the former director of the National Science Foundation. He served as science advisor to former President Clinton, and he, too, was director of the Office of Science and Technology Policy from 1998 to 2001. He is currently a professor of physics and astronomy and a senior fellow at the James A. Baker III Institute for the Public Policy at Rice University in Houston. Thank you for being with us today, Dr. Lane.
Thank you, Ira. I'm delighted to be here with you and with John Marburger.
Tell us, Dr. Lane, why these 60 signers felt compelled to do this?
Well, I think it's been a perception, a growing perception among many in the science community, certainly among myself, that they're starting to develop a pattern of incidents which are highly disturbing. It is so important that the high-level policymakers and government get the very best and most objective, unbiased, impartial scientific advice, because that science often impacts regulation and other policy decisions the administration, the Congress needs to make that affects people's health and the health, the environment, and the livelihood of all Americans. So we felt this was sufficiently important. We just simply needed to speak together and try to help get this issue out a little bit more in front of the public and the policymakers.
Dr. Marburger, what is your reaction?
Well, my reaction is, first of all, to agree with Dr. Lane that we absolutely have to have good science informing policy decisions. But I disagree with the report, which I think makes very sweeping, serious accusations based on a miscellaneous list of incidents and issues that simply don't add up to the kind of argument that you need to justify making this kind of accusation. So my view is that we do have a perception problem that I welcome the opportunity to address it, and hope that we can shed some light on it. Perhaps we can during this show.
Mm. Are you saying you did not say the accusations are inaccurate? You just said they were sweeping.
I think the sweeping accusations are wrong. I don't think there is, quote, a wide-ranging effort to manipulate science facts to support political issues. This administration does not want to take actions that are against the laws of nature or even against the kinds of statistical findings that we often have to make decisions on. We want to do it right. And, in fact, I think that's part of the problem. This is a management-oriented administration. It does differ from previous administrations in its emphasis on performance by agencies. There certainly is more pressure on agencies from my office and from OMB, Office of Management and Budget, to perform, to measure more, to be more careful about the science and the language that goes into making regulations, and yes, we are putting pressure on agencies to perform in a way that, that may never have been done before.
Let me focus on one instance in the report, and maybe you can help us explain how, about that pressure. The report cites a specific example, example from the EPA, and actually publishes an internal EPA memo. And it shows that the administration wanted so many changes to the global warming section of the its 2003 report on the environment, changes that were not scientifically defensible, the report says, that rather than water down the section with qualifiers and distort the science, the EPA decided to take out the entire section. And EPA Chief Christy Todd Whitman, who was the governor of New Jersey, was rated highly on the on environmental issues. She resigned a few weeks after that, although she said it was for personal reasons. Here's a concrete example. If you read the memo, you can see the internal fighting going on, saying, get this stuff out of the report. How does that jibe with what good science is about and the best available science?
Well, first of all, these reports come out in the name of the administration, and there's a great deal of effort to make sure that they're right, that they do accurately reflect what's in other reports and good science. And there was a long dialogue between some White House offices, and including mine, and the EPA on this and some other issues. And frankly, I don't think that those I don't think those statements add up to undermining the science or manipulating the science. Now,
that was the internal statement of the memo, the science team itself at the EPA saying that, not anybody reporting on it.
That doesn't necessarily make them right. Let me point out that at the same time that this was happening, that there was a climate change science strategic plan that was about to be released that had much of the same information in it and many of the same addressed many of the same issues. And one of the efforts was to make sure that those plans were consistent with that those documents would be consistent with each other. And I believe that the EPA's decision to withhold that paragraph was based as much on the fact that there was another document emerging that covered much the same ground. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing that you have to look at to try to understand what the origins of these are. But increased scrutiny of the reports that come up from the agencies for release, yes, there is, but I don't think it's politically motivated, and I think it's justified based on the higher standards for scientific quality.
Neil Lane, any reaction?
Well, yes, I fully agree with the efforts to ensure that the agencies are doing their jobs better and that we're responsive to the law and in manners that's efficient and makes use of the appropriate procedures and articulates the rulemaking and other releases from the agencies in a way that's more understandable, more effective. I mean, all of those things that I know Dr. Marburger is helping with are extremely important. Where perhaps we might not fully agree is that I think, though, that it's highly inappropriate to have top-down direction at the detail of excising sentences and paragraphs and in a report as important as this particular one that you referred to, Ira, coming out of EPA. And the White House is not a large operation. People work hard. There are good people there. But they can't possibly have the range of and depth of knowledge necessary to deal with some of these highly technical issues, whereas that knowledge is available in the agencies, particularly when the agencies have good advisory committees and access to the National Academy's analysis that help guide them along the way. So it's a top-down process with regard to this particular report and many of the other issues that we raise about advisory committee and manipulation of advisory committee appointments and other kind of actions that that we think are in fact quite serious, and at least in my own experience, I simply have never seen anything like it in the time that I was in the White House, or in the time, or as far as I can tell, the time former President Bush served, and President Nixon's and President Reagan. So there is a qualitative shift here, which is what alarms many of us.
You know, this comes at a time when the White House is under attack for distorting data or information regarding the range and scope of weapons of mass destruction. And critics might charge that this is just a pattern. This is also a pattern in the science. It looks at the science of the other stuff that it goes through, that it will change and distort what it doesn't seem to fit into its political agenda.
Well, may I comment on
yes.
that? Not on the weapons of mass destruction issue. I think our report did not get into that, except the specific technical issue about the aluminum tubes, which you may wish to discuss. But I think one thing I would like to emphasize is that the statement that we signed, and indeed the report, does not mean to imply that there's some kind of tightly coordinated direction of all of the activities of the different agencies, mm-hmm. from the documents they write to the advisory committees they appoint and so on. My own view is there's a pattern, and that my experience in how the White House works tells me that that the president, of course, doesn't get involved in each one of these decisions. Sometimes staff in the White House do, say in the Council of Environmental Quality, in the case of the EPA statement, or other parts of the White House with regard to other activities. But what really happens is that the cabinet meets and the president makes clear to the people he appoints to run these departments what his priorities are and what his standards are and his values and so on. And they go off and they do their jobs. And that in fact, results in some cultural change and in sometimes behavior change in the agencies. So, and I think we've seen direct results of that.
Dr. Marburger?
And let me say that when the president does meet with the cabinet and promulgates his views, what he says is that he wants to know what sound science says about each of these issues, that he wants the agencies to do it right, and he expects them to perform well. He doesn't say we're going to change this report or distort things to fit the politics. He doesn't say that political issues are paramount and everything else is subordinate to that. That's not the message. The message is better performance, higher standards. And, you know, Neil referred to the expertise that exists in the agencies and the advisory panels and so forth. And, yes, there is expertise in agencies. There are advisory panels. But it doesn't always work. Not all the agencies have the opportunity to hire, for example, technical talent at the going rates. So there are some limitations on the level of analysis that agencies can bring to bear. And if all of that apparatus worked perfectly, there wouldn't be any need for my office or other White House offices to be keeping a watch on things and intervening as necessary to ensure high standards. This, I think, what people need to keep in mind is that we have a performance-oriented president who expects things to work well, and I believe that is somewhat responsible for increased activity, if there is any, at the White House level. Certainly, I take the responsibility very seriously to see that the agencies do the science properly and have smoothly functioning advisory panels and so forth.
If you found out there was this distortion occurring on purpose and in non-scientific methods, would you resign?
I would immediately contact the chief scientist in the agency or the secretary, a cabinet officer responsible for the agency, and say, what's going on? Let's try to fix something.
All right. We have to take a short break. We'll come back and talk lots more. I know that Neil has to go, so we'll just take another 5 minutes after this break. Everybody stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flato. We were talking this hour about science policy with my guests, John H. Marburger, the third science advisor to President Bush, Neil Lane, a former director of the National Science Foundation and also a former science advisor, and now a senior fellow at James A. Baker, the Third Institute for Public Policy at Rice University. Our number 1-800-989-8255. We just have a few minutes to go. Let's move on to what was brought up before about You were saying that if there was something wrong, that you would work to immediately find the answer to why that's happening.
Right. That's what I'm here for.
Well, you know, and I guess the charges that are being made by Neil Lane and others is that the house is burning down and you don't realize it.
No, I don't think that's the charge that's being made, but I do think that there's a report like the one that has come out is making statements that are very sweeping, based on a number of disconnected incidents, each of which has its own story. And I'm familiar with a number of these incidents, not every one in every detail, but I'm familiar with enough of them to know that the house is not burning down. There's an enormous science activity in this country, panels that are working quite well. In fact, the overwhelming majority of the scientific work in this country that's done through federal agencies is very high quality. It's working very well. We have a healthy science environment in this country.
But why would these 60 scientists decide to send you a statement then, or send the White House a statement about this, if things were going so well? In fact, there are 17 physicists, many of your colleagues are on there, some of the highest names in physics, who signed the statement. What do they see different than you see?
Well, I think Neil has described it. I think Neil has pointed to the perception that there is some pattern there, and it's disturbing. And frankly, the fact that there's a perception out there is disturbing to me, and I think we do have to take seriously these concerns.
Mm-hmm. Neil, is there a perception, or is this you hallucinating, or what's going on here?
Well, I don't think I'm hallucinating. I don't think we're hallucinating. But let me say a couple things. I mean, first, if I thought that the science advisor, and indeed Jack Marburger, is an outstanding science advisor, and you know, we all applauded his appointment by President Bush, and continue to feel that way. This is not aimed at Jack Marburger or at his office, but I can just only say that in my experience in the White House is attempting to ensure that all of these federal agencies in a very complex government with lots of major responsibilities, attempting to kind of direct that activity, make sure it's all going in a positive direction, is extremely difficult. So our hope here is that by raising the level with of course Dr. Marburger's active involvement, trying to do all of the good things that he described, we might be able to help him make that happen. And so if these kind of incidents, which we think are dangerous to people, having to do with control of mercury and lead in the environment, preventing teen pregnancy, I mean, better, cleaner air and water, a better agriculture that protects the future of that sector and people's food, those kind of things are very important. If just down the road there, we will find that there are many fewer of these incidents that we're talking about, hopefully zero, then we will have been successful. I mean, that's all that we really want to accomplish here.
Well, thanks for the help.
And, you know, what's interesting, Dr. Marburger, is that even in the report here, the Union Concerned Scientists report, they single you out as the answer. They say at the report that they're not really attacking you. You're not even mentioned anywhere. As Dr. Lane says, they think that you can help fix the problem.
Well, people need to know that I'm part of the White House, too, and I get my direction from the president, and frankly, I'm encouraged by his support. And, look, it's clear that there are very important scientists concerned about this. I don't think the house is burning down. I think that we need to get many more details out sort of explain what our policies are, and we'll try to do that in the future. But I'm just sorry that a report like this came out with, in my view, so little effort to get to the bottom of these issues. And we'll have to do that.
You mean you're going to be investigating these allegations now?
Well, listen, no one approached me or my office in the preparation of this report. I don't know whether any of the agencies, agency heads, or chief scientists in the agencies where these incidents occurred were approached regarding the report. I'm going to have to find out about that. But the things that I'm aware of that underlie some of the decisions and actions that are taken don't appear in the report. So I don't think it's a complete report, and I don't think that it adds to the kind of substantive argumentation that you need to make these sweeping statements. That's all. And I'm concerned about a disconnect between the administration and the science community, which would be unfortunate. Because let me just end.
That's a heck of a disconnect going on.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
In a time when we've had historic increases in R&D budgets in this country, and the president has generally been very supportive of science funding. He supported the doubling of the NIH budget. He supported larger increases for the National Science Foundation. He's got some major programs designed to, you know, support the economy, innovation, things like nanotechnology and so forth. So this is unfortunate, and we're going to have to fix it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we're going to fix it through this kind of sweeping condemnation of the whole administration.
Neil Lane, any last word?
I think the report is pretty carefully documented. I think the staff of the Union of Concerned Scientists sort of bent over backwards to give the sources in the footnotes of the information that's provided. There can always be more, of course, but there were lots of interviews with people inside these agencies, and I suspect I'm not part of the Union of Concerned Scientists. I'm a signer of a statement, but I can understand the reason they might not go to the tops of these agencies is because it was some of these decisions were made at the tops of these agencies, not going to the White and not going to John Marburger's office. I can only speculate that that's because we do believe that John Marburger is going to be the solution to this problem, and already has, I'm sure, addressed many of these issues. But the criticism is really aimed at things that are going on in the agencies in a culture that responds so directly to groups with strong ideological views that tend to trump science, and some strong industrial representations in sectors that are willing to put the companies ahead of the science. So that may well have developed a culture in which these things happen, but I'm confident that Dr. Marburger is going to help improve this situation, and we're going to see a better outcome a year or two hence.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. Well, we'll be following the issue. I want to thank both of you for joining us. Dr. John H. Marburger III, the science advisor to President Bush. That means he's the director of the Office of Science and Technology Policy and former director of Brookhaven National Laboratory. Thank you for taking time from your busy schedule, Dr. Marburger, to talk with us.
Thank you, Aaron.
Neil Lane, former director of the National Science Foundation. He, too, was a science advisor for the Clinton administration from 1998 to 2001 and currently professor of physics and astronomy and a senior fellow at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy at Rice University in Houston. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate it.